Facebook's business model won't change, but it could see more regulation. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg made his first appearance before Congress yesterday. Suit and tie, 5 hours of questions from 44 senators. Zuckerberg made it clear that Facebook is an ad-supported service and is going to stay that way.
There will always be a version of Facebook that is free. It is our mission to try to help connect everyone around the world and to bring the world closer together. In order to do that, we believe that we need to offer a service that everyone can afford, and we're committed to doing that.
Well, if so, how do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service?
Senator, we run ads.
I see.
That was Utah Senator Orrin Hatch doing the questioning. Zuckerberg was testifying in response to news that a data firm, Cambridge Analytica, accessed information on as many as 87 million Facebook users. He took personal responsibility and said the company was open to the idea of more oversight. Marketplace tech host Molly Wood explains.
Zuckerberg did seem willing to have conversations about regulation, but he also seems to realize that he and the company would probably get a large hand in writing those regulations. In fact, Senator Lindsey Graham as much as asked Facebook to help craft any future privacy regulations. Senator John Thune of South Dakota early in the day pointed out that any regulations on data collection might end up hurting smaller companies and then give Facebook sole access to all the data the company already has.
Today, the director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will also testify in front of Congress. An outspoken critic of the agency he now leads, Acting Director Mick Mulvaney, will give his first report to Congress. Marketplace's Ryan Kailoff has this preview.
In 4 short months, Mick Mulvaney's nearly put Maria Early out of a job. As a partner at the law firm Reed Smith, she helps defend banks against CFPB investigations. Or at least she did, until Mulvaney took over the bureau.
Now I'm not doing anything in front of the CFPB with respect to enforcement.
Mulvaney's frozen or dropped most of those cases. Brianne Garrod of the Constitutional Accountability Center expects he'll stick to his old talking points.
Certainly in his semiannual report issued just a couple of days ago, you know, he essentially tried to rehash the arguments about the Bureau having too little accountability and suggesting that Congress change its structure.
Joe Jacko of law firm Foley & Lardner says regardless of what happens to the CFPB, the Dodd-Frank law that created it also gives state attorneys general the power to enforce its regulations. So
as there's this perception that the CFPB is pulling back, the state AGs are just going to go in and fill the gap.
And those investigations, Mulvaney can't stop. In New York, I'm Ryan Kailoth for Marketplace.
And now let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down in the 0.7% range, with the Dow future down 166 points.
Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps you understand the financial forces that affect our lives so that you can make better decisions. Now, this is your chance to be part of our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. When you support Marketplace today, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. As a nonprofit news organization, we're counting on your help so that we can continue to grow and keep getting better. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount is right for you. You do it by going to marketplace.org.
50 years ago today, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of 1968. It's also known as the Fair Housing Act because the law made it a federal crime to deny housing based on a person's race, color, religion, or national origin. Since then, protections for gender, disability, and families with children have been added, but housing advocates say another form of discrimination is still a barrier for many low-income people. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports from our desk at YWPR in Baltimore.
12 years ago, Jill Williams had a stroke that left her unable to work. She ended up homeless, living between shelters and her car. Then in 2016, she got a Section 8 housing voucher for veterans. She'd served in the Coast Guard.
After 10 years of homelessness and being on the street, it was a tremendous help.
But when she tried to use the voucher,
traveled to several apartment complexes and constantly heard the word no.
In Baltimore County and much of the country, it's perfectly legal for landlords to turn someone down based on their source of income. Antonia Fasanelli is executive director of the Homeless Persons Representation Project in Baltimore and Williams' lawyer. She says 50 years after the Fair Housing Act,
we see this as essentially one of the last frontiers of ensuring that people have access to fair housing.
Landlords say it's not discrimination. Adam Skolnick is executive director of the Maryland Multi-Housing Association, a trade group.
This is all about the governmental bureaucracy that comes with taking a voucher as opposed to any other issue.
Skolnick says landlords who accept vouchers face inspections and paperwork. The Public Housing Authority determines how much rent they can charge.
I'm a small landlord and I take vouchers. I love the income stream. I'll admit that. And I find it worth dealing with the agony. But that's why, you know, our association thinks it should be somebody's choice.
Fair housing advocates say that choice perpetuates segregation and concentrated poverty. Jill Williams eventually did find a place to live. On the way out to see it, we passed several complexes where she says her voucher wasn't accepted.
So I couldn't live there and couldn't live here. No Section 8.
No Section 8.
She's 59 now. Her gray ponytail pokes out of a woman veteran Coast Guard cap.
And this is my apartment right here on the corner, on the ground level.
Outside, the grounds look neatly kept, but she says she doesn't feel safe going for walks, and it's far from her family.
It was disappointing because I couldn't live where I wanted to live, and I just never thought that I would find income discrimination, as well as at my age having experienced discrimination because of my color.
Williams hopes to move to Annapolis, Maryland's capital, so she can advocate for the homeless. And because there, discrimination based on source of income is prohibited. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.